marks in here, the smarks in here, yeah.
Doom. I reference Cena so much, I'm sure you assume that I got a man crush, but I swear it's just random, not fandom. Ignore the lifelike mannequin. You can't see it, I didn't see it. Next to me in my Kia, and drive somewhere scenic to watch a sunset in Phoenix, share a box of Kleenex, to leave it in the middle of a bee's nest.
And yo, 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 it's your boy Sean Pump. I'm here with Mike K, Mike Rossi, and the First Lady, Amy, and this is Smarks, Spot Monkeys, and Super Geeks. What's up, fellas? How you doing?
What's going on?
What's good? What's good?
Chilling, enjoying some NXT, talking sports and everything. Man, it's been a crazy week of wrestling action. Amy, just so you know, you're muted. You don't have to stay. You guys don't have to stay muted. You can unmute because it's whatever.
I didn't even realize I was muted.
We don't have Gary here today, though.
I have to mute myself because sometimes when I get going, I won't shut the fuck up. So I just need to keep it quiet.
Fair enough. I probably should put a headset in, but I don't know where the hell my headset is. I just move and shit.
It can't work due to physical or mental health problems.
What?
You may be entitled to Social Security.
Who's TV is allowed?
Oh, not disability mine. Health. Hey, if you can't regularly lift over 10 pounds.
Someone's talking about Social Security disability right now.
Are you lifting over 10
yeah,
pounds?
Yeah, that's
it. Fibromyosis.
Yeah.
Listen, if they're not paying us for a sponsorship, they don't get commercials.
Right?
Oh, man, so let's get right into shit and get things going. I got to go pick up the girlfriend at 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock she gets off. So for you guys that don't know, we're recording right at the end of NXT. Main event's about to happen. We'll kind of touch on that maybe a little bit, maybe not. I don't know. It is what it is. But let's get right into things. I want to talk about this weekend. We had a lot go on this week. Well, not a lot. But we had plenty of wrestling this weekend. We had two pay-per-views. I wanted to do reviews of both of them. We didn't, but we can do it now. Let's get into it. We're going to break them all down. Did you guys watch Impact this weekend?
I did watch it this weekend, actually.
Nah. I followed it, so I could talk about it a little bit, but I didn't watch
it.
Yeah,
me too. I followed it, but I didn't watch it.
Fair enough. It was what the hell was the name of this pay-per-view? Impact has some weird name.
Under Siege, I think.
Yeah, Under Siege. That's right.
Instantly made me think of Shane McMahon when he was running SmackDown and he busted into Raw with the whole roster and he was like, Under Siege.
This one was on Impact Plus. I don't get how they do this. Like, some stuff's on Impact Plus, some stuff isn't. It's usually the shit pay-per-views that are on Impact Plus. It makes you kind of want to cancel Impact Plus, to be honest.
I don't use it, so.
Do they have, like, an actual pay-per-view schedule now? Or is it just, like, a show every 2 weeks? I feel like they just did one.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. That's the biggest problem, I think, with their pay-per-views. Because you don't really know what's what. Like, even if you go to their website, like, if you go to Wikipedia, it doesn't really tell you what's coming up. Like, they have nothing marked for upcoming events when you go to their Impact Plus monthly specials. So I have no idea when that next special is, because there's no rhyme or reason to it. Like, if you tried to go even by all the way back, like, there's no rhyme or reason to their pay-per-view order or when they do it. They kind of just, it's like they just pull shit out of a hat and decide we're going with that this month.
It seems like they're like kind of touring again too for like some of these bigger shows, but they don't really announce it until like a month before the show, I feel like. So Right. Maybe they're just kind of booking at the seat of their pants and seeing what venues they can get and stuff like that.
That could be it. I mean, if you go to last year, so Under Siege was in May of last year. June was Against All Odds. July was Homecoming. August was Emergence. September was Victory Road. So if they keep that up, maybe that's where we'll be. But I don't know, because their April pay-per-view was Hardcore Justice and March was Sacrifice. This year, they didn't do Hardcore Justice. So I don't know. They did Sacrifice in March. They did No Surrender in February. So I don't know if they're going to give us Against All Odds or if that's kind of going to be dropped to the wayside. Who the hell knows? I don't know what the hell they're doing. I don't, like I said, I agree with you, Mike. I think they're just flying by the seat of their pants right now.
So I just did a little bit of a dive, and it looks like the next actual pay-per-view is Slammiversary in June. I'm assuming that they do another special before then, but they haven't actually announced it yet.
Fair enough. See, and here's my thing. Like I just said, when you look at the list that I just read off, it's all shit pay-per-views on Impact Plus. So you're paying for Impact Plus for what? Doesn't make any sense to me. Like these streaming services that don't give you all the pay-per-views on it makes absolutely no sense to me. I'm not going to buy a pay-per-view on Fight. I hate the whole Fight experience. It's never good. It never plays right. You always have streaming issues. It's just a shit platform. And that must be
because you're buying GCW shows, and those have shit issues everywhere. So
fair enough. But I just feel like everything I've ever watched on Fight, I had a really bad experience one WrestleMania weekend on Fight where nothing was fucking streaming right. So ever since then, I hated Fight TV. So they did it to themselves. They kicked themselves in the fucking balls with a horrible ass Mania weekend. But let's get into this card and start breaking down what happened. So they had a kickoff show, and they had two matches on the kickoff show, which was kind of weird to me, seeing that it wasn't like a real pay-per-view and it was only on Impact Plus. But we got Heath and Rhino taking on Raj Singh and Shira. Heath and Rhino won that one. I don't know if any of you guys even followed that whole pre-show.
I didn't watch the pre-show, no.
It was on YouTube, so I threw it on. That's another thing. I feel like if you have an app and you have a show on the app, the pre-show should be on the app. I should have to go to YouTube and search for your pre-show.
Right.
You then have to go to the app afterwards.
Yeah, you might as well have it on both. If you're gonna have it, if you're gonna have YouTube, then have it on both. Have it on YouTube.
Yeah, I understand. I understand having the YouTube to try to get people to buy the show, but if you bought the show, then you should just have it without worry.
Right.
Yeah.
It should be on both.
If the show's on the app, you should be able to watch it on the app. Right. You should be on the app. You should have it on the app if you're doing it. I shouldn't have to go search on YouTube.
It was like WWE when they used to have they had their stuff on the WWE app or whatever that was in USA. You could have it on both at the same time.
Right. You know, both at the same time. Exactly.
Right. And then you're like, all right, you can switch over to the US WWE network to watch the pay-per-view. I'm like, all right, great. I'll just put it on the stream.
That's the one thing. I feel like the WWE app, a lot of people had things they didn't like about it. But when you look at everybody else's app, the WWE app was the best one. All these other apps are kind of just shit.
Yeah.
Like, do you guys get any services? Do you have like New Japan or IWTV or any of them?
I had New Japan in the past, and I liked it. I mean, there were times where I didn't even have the English commentary right away, which sucked. But like, I liked having access to their library and stuff like that. So
that's fair. See, maybe that's it. A lot of people like them for the library. Like Impact has their entire library of everything they've ever done. I don't dive into that enough, because I never really got into Impact when it first came out. Like, I see things on Impact now back in the day, I'm like, wait, those guys fought on Impact? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Like, I was into TNA back then.
Yeah.
Like, their first, like, 10 years, really. I wasn't really watching Impact.
I remember they had a pay-per-view one year on TNA, I think it was, where every match had a former WWE star in the match. Yeah, I was like, the hell? It's just like guys who were released from WWE were in TNA and they were in there on their pay-per-view. So like, do you have any of your own? Yeah, like, do you have any of your own homegrown talent at all? Or is it just all just rejects from WWE?
Oh,
like,
AEW
is kind of.
They had a lot of guys that came up in Impact. But
I know, but I was saying that when I was watching that pay-per-view, I'm like, where are all the guys who are from
right, where are all TNA? That's wicked funny. So anyway, yeah, we had that match. We had Heath and Rhino versus Raj Singh and Shira. Heath and Rhino won that by pinfall. And then we had this match was weird to me because then they cut his match from the main show, I think, unless I was really, really, really high, which I don't think it was.
You're talking Speedball?
Yeah, so Rich Swann, you know, Laredo Kid, and Speedball Mike Bailey, and they legitimately talked about how he had a match later on that night during that match. So it was made, like, they let everybody know, hey, you know, he's in this match, but later on tonight, he's going to be fighting in this match. So to me, I feel like that's kind of stupid. That's a bad match to cut because if you're using the pre-show to sell the main show to people to watch it, and you're telling these people that you're trying to get to watch the main show, hey, this guy here has a match later on the main show, and then you cut his match, like, what does that do to those people that you were trying to draw in? It makes you look bad. It makes you look like you're a bunch of liars. You're running a mud show, and you don't know what the hell's going on.
Go ahead. So especially because Shelly was never there. So if they were talking that up, I mean, he was in Detroit for Circle Six and No Peace Underground. He double booked himself. So if you're going to talk about it, like it's going to happen, then, you know, he's not going to be there. He's across the country. So that was pretty bad if they did announce it like that.
Yeah, like I wasn't sure how they announced it, but I knew that Shelly ended up not being there because he was in Detroit. So, I mean, sucks for Speedball. That would have been a great match, but it is what it is. But if they advertised it as Shelly was still there, then that's shame on them.
You'd think that they'd at least put someone in his place, though, and give him that match.
But they probably didn't know until the last minute, so they didn't. They probably didn't have anybody else on hand to do the match.
So was Swann and Laredo Kid advertised for the pre-show?
I don't know any of the matches were advertised for the pre-show.
I don't think there were any matches advertised for the pre-show.
Yeah, so, I mean, they probably were going to beat Speedball anyways, so they were like, ah, screw it, we'll just throw him in this match.
Yeah, but I guess they could have done, if they could have had Swann pin Laredo and then
Speedball didn't get pinned.
Right, and then have Speedball turn around and say, you didn't pin me, face me tonight on the pay-per-view. And they could have just had another match again and just put Rich, just double booked Rich Swann. Like, he couldn't have done it twice and would have covered the whole thing.
That's true.
Would have covered the whole thing, but no, they didn't do that. Yeah. Especially if they knew that Alex Shelley wasn't going to be there. Because, you know, Shelley's not here. Just have Swann beat. Just have it play out the way he did. Just have freaking Speedball just, I don't know, attack Swann afterwards. And
who knows what was going on backstage? What was going on backstage? Maybe they were trying to get him there.
Maybe Speedball's like, yo, I gotta go. I can't be here all night. So I'll just do the pre-show and then get out of here.
Who knows? I don't know.
That's
a mess. I don't know. That's another thing. So what? Hold on. Let's rewind to what Rossi said a little bit ago. So Alex Shelley double booked and did his other booking over the pay-per-view booking.
Probably got paid more. He's from Circle Six has got a real rich fucking guy running their promotion. That was the promotion that was from like the spurned merch guy from GCW. So he's probably paying really well. Guy's fucking loaded.
Okay. That's interesting though. You would think that he would show up for that, but I don't know, whatever, says something about Impact. So let's get into the regular card. Started out, we get Giselle Shaw taking on Madison Rayne. Giselle Shaw wins by pinfall. I felt like that was obvious that was going to happen. Madison Rayne at this point can just be used. Like, you don't need her to win matches. She can put people over, and she's always going to be Madison Rayne, the like 900-time Impact Knockouts champion. So she can just lose to somebody else to put them over.
And are they the tag champs, Madison Rayne and Tennille?
Yeah,
I think they are. Yeah.
So this match was probably just to set up a tag match between Rayne and Tennille and Giselle, and she's with what, Alicia Edwards?
Yeah.
Now, when did that happen? I thought she was with Lady Frost.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. They kind of just, I don't know.
Did Frost get hurt? Because she just kind of disappeared.
I don't know, but I think she came into her corner at what, maybe the Impact before the pay-per-view. Alicia might have came out and helped Giselle Shaw. I don't know.
I think that she did get, I think Frost is hurt because she hasn't been working anything. And she normally was still doing indie, so she probably is dinged up. Or is she still working NWA?
Ooh, I don't know.
Watch that.
I haven't watched it, actually. I don't know.
Yeah, me neither.
But to my knowledge, I don't think she's been advertised for any of those either that I can
think of. Is NWA still behind a pay window? Like, do you have to pay for NWA right now?
I think they're big shows, you do.
Yeah. But their other stuff's back on their YouTube channel?
I'm pretty sure. And a lot of it is just Cardona, like, hyping shit up on his podcast.
But even after they aired it on whatever it was that they had to pay for, what was it, Fight? It would still end up being on YouTube like a day or two later anyway. So.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I'm not watching NXT, and I'm pretty sure some of Natty's extensions just fell out.
That's awesome.
That's
great. So that match happened, I guess. It went 7 minutes, 16 seconds.
Which I honestly was, that's all it went. It felt like it went longer. Maybe it's just because the match was kind of slow paced. It just felt like it went longer.
Yeah, it kind of just happened. I mean, I guess I'm of the mindset that for a pay-per-view like that, you start off strong. But I guess you can also go with the weakest match and just kind of let it happen. That's kind of
get it out of the way.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say it was an awful match, but it wasn't great.
Right.
But it, like, there wasn't like any botches or anything or that I can remember, but there wasn't really anything noteworthy that I can remember from it either.
I just don't even think the whole idea of the match was even noteworthy. I feel like that's the match you put
before
your main event, is the piss break match.
Yeah. But I'm also not very familiar with Giselle Shaw either. Like, I've seen, like, she's not bad. Like, I've seen her in Rev Pro, so I know what she can do. But I haven't seen her often enough to be like, yeah, you know, she's awesome, you know?
Right. Then we got Chris Sabin defeating Steve Maclin, pinned him. 13 minutes and 23 seconds. That confused the hell out of me. I was not expecting Maclin to lose them.
I wasn't either. Like, Macklin's been on a roll, so that really surprised me.
I was shocked by that because Maclin was, I mean, he was just in a match last month. He didn't pin Jay White, but it was a match that Jay White was in, and he was the victor. And then 2 weeks later, he's jobbing at Chris Sabin. Was the last pay-per-view when he did like that like Punisher shit? When he did like face paint and stuff?
Yes. Yeah.
And yeah. Cora's got she's in the sharpshooter in the middle of the ring. Uh-oh.
Yeah, she's about to lose.
No, Cora's got Natty in the sharpshooter.
No, you're behind. Behind. You're way behind.
Oh, am I?
Yeah. Now he's about to win this match.
My show glitched out.
She's about to tap out.
Yeah, man, I didn't want her to tap out.
Or she's gonna pass out. She's gonna pass out. That's what she's gonna do. She's gonna pass out, and now he's gonna win. Exactly what's gonna happen.
Or someone's gonna.
Yep. Come told out. You she passed out. She passed out. Now he wins.
That sucks.
Yeah. Dumb.
Anyway,
Dumb.
That not as dumb as Chris Sabin beating.
True. To go back a second, you said, you know, Macklin had the match with Jay White. Wasn't Chris Sabin in that match too? Didn't Macklin pin Chris Sabin?
I know it was a three-way. But right. I mean, if that is true, which it probably is, then that makes this finish even fucking dumber.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
I mean, I'm sorry, just were they mad? I get that it's Chris Sabin, but the fact that Macklin didn't go over Chris Sabin just kind of boggles me a little bit, because Macklin's just been on such a tear.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me. It's ass. Oh, she did pass out just now for me. See, I'm behind you.
Yeah. That kind of sucks. That's dumb. But
yeah, now she's about to pass. Yeah.
Because, I mean, because
maybe they were mad at, maybe this is kind of like a fuck you to Alex Shelley. I'm gonna give Chris Sabin a win because you didn't show up, which is stupid too. I don't know. I'm trying to make sense of it because it made no sense.
Yeah, it's weird because Macklin's only loss before this was when he lost to Miguel on like whatever their last really big show was, and that was like a really good match.
Yeah.
I think that was his only loss. I mean, I don't watch it religiously, but.
What? Yeah. What just happened there on NXT?
I told you, man.
Is that how they put her over?
Yeah, that's how they put Cora over. That she took Natalya to the limit. So that's how she passed. So she actually didn't tap out. She just passed out. So it kind of gives her like the rub.
So it sets them up for another match.
If they decide, well, no, they don't have to have one now.
Hugged it out.
They don't have to do it.
Yeah,
you could, but there's really no reason to it now.
Yeah, even if you don't do it now, you can come back to it in like 6 months if you want.
Yeah, if you wanted to. But I thought she was going to lose because I figured she was going to end up win the tag titles on Friday. So I was like, no, she'd lose.
They still might,
but yeah, it just seemed kind of the way they did it. I understand, but. You know, I would have rather had Cora Jade just win the match.
I think that would have made a little more sense.
But at the
same time, Cora's not ready to beat Natty either. So that makes sense.
No, but that's why you get the surprise win and she steals the win or whatever, gets the surprise win.
No.
Natty underestimates her and she ends up freaking stealing a win. And then you can do another one later on.
No, because here's the thing. If Natty's gonna win on Friday, this was the right decision.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because she's gonna need that momentum going into Friday.
What are you saying?
Yeah, I guess it means they're gonna win on Friday.
Did Sasha do anything on NXT? I know she was at it. She must have just been like doing some training with them or something.
Yeah, they didn't show her.
So all right. Talking about the females, we can get back to Impact. Taya Valkyrie defeats Deonna Purrazzo by pinfall to defend the AAA Reina's Championship, whatever the hell that means.
I didn't understand that. I didn't understand what was the point of that. She just lost her belt to Mercedes on AEW.
She had both titles.
She lost that one. It would have made more sense that she then wins this one because she doesn't have both. But
so I know that AAA wants Taya to have that title and she's going to get a big push down there as like one of their top names. So I don't really even think this was an Impact decision as much as it was like, hey, you can have Taya for a couple shows, but she's going to end up with the title.
Yeah.
Right.
I was going to say, I don't think Taya actually signed to Impact. So.
That would make sense though.
That was a good match though, Taya and Deonna.
But I will say, Deonna, who had such a good run of matches, like when she was on a winning streak before, doing the belt challenge, unstoppable. Now she's been a fucking jobber for like a month. And what's been crazy about it is it hasn't been like just an Impact either. Like she did the big job in AEW. She never even worked the ROH show. So she's kind of lost the profile a little bit. So let's see how they build her up.
Diana or Taya?
Diana.
Diana.
Yeah, she got jumped by she attacked Mia. She attacked Taya afterwards, and then Mia Yim returned.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Debuted or whatever.
I missed that. Apparently I fell asleep whenever that happened.
Yeah, so she so I assume they're gonna do Diana and Mia Yim now.
Yes.
Especially since Taya doesn't actually belong to them. But yeah, so no.
Yeah, Mia's signed a short term contract with them for the time being. Oh,
that's interesting. I'm surprised she signed there and not with AEW, saying that Keith.
Probably Mia. No place for her there. There's probably no space for her though.
She would have gotten lost now. In the shuffle in AEW. At least, you know, Impact. She's a former. You know, she's a former Knockouts champion. She's had some fantastic matches there with Rosemary. Like her, the Monsters Ball match she had with Rosemary was phenomenal. So I think going back to Impact was the right decision for me. Yeah.
I told you, man, Impact's going to become freaking AEW's, like, developmental.
No, they think of Ring of
Honor. No, that's ROH.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ring of Honor, yeah. Either way.
Impact's just everybody's developmental.
Yeah, exactly.
Except Cardona's.
Yeah.
Right, fair enough.
WWE was Cardona's developmental.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we got Ace Austin defending the woman, Impact X Division Championship against Trey Miguel. He won by pinfall. 13 minutes. I don't like Ace Austin or Trey Miguel. Like, Ace Austin, I can deal with him, but Trey Miguel, I understand why he wasn't brought on to the WWE. He just doesn't do it for me.
He's so I like Trey because I used to do t-shirts for Trey, but so I kind of like had to. But I've like always thought that he really tried so hard to just be Ricochet 2.0. And he's kind of got out of that shadow a little bit. And he's trying to do some different things that aren't just like out of like a Ricochet creator wrestler skill set. But he still still has that thing. I mean, even he used to still do the crown, even when Ricochet was doing the crown. It's just like he was always that like Ricochet clone, Ricochet wannabe. And I haven't really ever been able to kind of get that stink off of him.
I do think Ace Austin, you know, retaining was the right decision for that because now he can bring that with him to Best of Super Juniors and it gives them, you know, a better showcasing there. Which for I believe sure. That starts on Sunday.
Yeah, I think they're probably all heading there in the next day or two. But I was like, and then if you think about like Impact and like if they fit into the New Japan AEW stuff at all at any point. They might. I mean, obviously, they did a little bit of business with them this week when they used Big Cass or W. Morrissey or whatever it is. So, I mean, it may be something that down the road, you know, you've got WWE, well, Freudian slip there. You've got AEW and you've got New Japan that are doing these joint shows. Maybe there's a little bit of a lane that you can send them, like their women's champ or Josh Alexander or Moose or stuff like that. And then you can have, like, you can just balance it out and make it even more of a super show. Something that, you know, if they ever run a stadium as part of that, like Forbidden Door concept, you know, you can bring in Mexico, you can bring in Impact and it might just make it a bigger overall feel, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. That would be kind of cool. I'd like to see something like that. Then we had Honor No More defeating, the Bullet Club. Honor No More, of course, Eddie Edwards, Kenny King, Matt Taven, Mike Bennett, and Vincent, with Maria Kanellis Bennett in their corner. Bullet Club was Jay White, Chris Bay, Doc Gallows, El Phantasmo, and Carl Anderson. Again, I think that was a no-brainer that Honor No More was going to get that win. It just makes more sense in the storyline.
Honestly, that finish surprised me. I thought Bullet Club was going to win, but that is because of something that happened in a match later on, which I'm not going to go into right now because we haven't gotten to that match yet. So.
Yeah, I was thinking with the like the reboot of New Japan in reality, you know, Gallows and Anderson are over there again, Jay White's back. I thought that there was going to be kind of a, you know, rub to, you know, we'll take Ace Austin from you and put him over, but, you know, Bullet Club's got to win this match. But they've, and I think the main reason I thought that is they've booked Honor No More so strangely since they put them together. So they, you know, it seemed like they haven't really gotten behind them and given them like a string of victories. I hope that this is kind of the takeoff of it, because I liked most of those guys. I don't really care for Kenny King. I can do without Vincent, I guess. But you, like, I feel like maybe this is the opportunity for them to actually get behind them and actually do something with them. And seems like they're focusing on Maria a little bit more too in the presentation when they weren't at first. So I'm hoping that they kind of, you know, get behind them now and do something with them. And maybe that leads to Eddie Edwards getting in the title picture.
I think the Bullet Club can lose. Like, that's another team that doesn't need to win. You can have them lose a match here and there. It doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't hurt them to the Bullet Club, so they'll always be respected and not thought of as shit, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, I totally agree with that. Like, Bullet Club's always going to be Bullet Club. No matter what, they can always afford to eat a loss. It was just what I thought was going to transpire during that match didn't. And it and it ended up transpiring later on in the night.
Gotcha. Okay.
Now, really quickly here, do you guys think that the way Jay White was positioned in Impact hurt his profile in the United States? Because he was always like, he's kind of been like, you know, he lost two weeks ago. He lost in a triple threat match. This time his team loses. He just like Jay White to me carries more star power than anybody else that's on the show. I mean, he left this, went straight into Japan or did Japan right before it. And now he's in the title program with Okada for June. So he's obviously held to a higher regard in Japan. And you would think that he's a guy that, you know, you could just plug out of Japan, put on any U.S. roster and he would excel right away. But it's just, and even when AEW had their hands on him, they didn't do anything with him. So I just feel like he's a guy that has all the talent in the world. He cuts a great promo. He can, you know, wrestle with anybody, but his entire like US excursion, we'll say, has been completely underwhelming, especially the Impact run.
Well, it seems like he's just being used for his name to get people to watch. It's like, oh, Jay White's on this show. Oh, Jay White's here. Oh, let's pay attention to it. But then he's not really doing anything. So it's just more to get.
But the matches that he's losing in are mostly multi-man matches, and he's not the one eating the fall.
True. So, yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Yes, he's just there for name.
True. But true. That's a good way to think of it.
Part of the he's not part of the actual long-term booking.
but I hear what you're saying, Rossi. Like he hasn't been held up to a high standard, and like he might not be being beat cleanly, but he's also not being featured prominently as anything that's anybody. He's not like a threat.
Yeah, this Impact run, he just felt like a guy. He hasn't felt like he's somebody that, you know, could main event the Tokyo Dome like this year. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But is there anybody really in Impact that's on his level name-wise to put him in a match with like that, though?
No, I guess not, because then you have to worry about jobbing out that person. Like, if you put him in with Josh Alexander, then, you know, Josh jobs, then obviously that hurts Impact. So that's where, right. You know, and he came over when Omega was still there too. So it's interesting how, you know, I just think of him as such a bigger star, but you're right. I mean, that's a good way to think of it that I didn't think of.
So then we had Tasha Steele's defend the Impact Knockouts Championship against Havoc. Again, another match that I kind of just knew the result. This one went 10 minutes and 26 seconds.
And that was about 5 minutes and 26 seconds too long, honestly. it was not. I love Havoc. I love Tasha Steeles, but it was not a good match. They didn't work good together at all. That chemistry just wasn't there in the match.
I like Tasha Steeles though. I like Tasha Steeles. At first, I didn't really like her at all, but she's grown on me. I really like her. I think she has a lot of potential. But yeah, this match just didn't do it for me.
I like her a lot more now that she's not with Kira Hogan and she's her own person.
Okay, that makes sense.
I can't believe she's 35 years old.
Is she?
Who?
Tasha Steelz.
Tasha? No yeah. way.
Yeah. I just looked it up because I was like, how old is she? Because she used to work like Beyond and shit like a couple years ago. But I always saw her as like this young upstart at that point, but she was in their early 30s then. She's been wrestling since 2016 too, so it's not, she just got a late start.
That's interesting.
Well, I mean, DDP was a young upstart at what, 38?
Pretty much, yeah.
Sure. Who do you guys think Tasha gets next? Or like, if Slammiversary is their big show, what do you think they're building towards?
I don't know. Are they going to put her against Rosemary? Because they just, I don't know if they...
Did they just do that?
I don't know, but on Impact they kidnapped Rosemary.
They did just kidnap Savannah. So
are they Rosemary building? Are they still building up Masha?
I think so. Kind of.
Yeah, but I don't think she's. I don't think she's anywhere near. I think they're still just building her.
So I'm just trying to think if they leave Madison Rayne with Mia Yim, which looks like a direction, or they, you know, not Madison Rayne, I'm sorry, Deonna. And then you've got Madison Rayne in the tag matches with Giselle and Alicia. Yeah, I mean, if it's not
Rosemary,
Masha,
seems like the logical choice, I think.
What about Jordan?
She was teaming with Morrissey. I think she's doing,
because now you think she's now. Like, yeah, she might be like above the women's division at this point and booked more like the intergender tag.
Yeah, like I think Jordan's reached that level. I think Jordan's reached that level where she's pretty much done all she can in the women's division.
Right.
So who is the digital champion? Is it still Cardona?
Yeah. Yeah. But. Yeah, so I don't know. I think it's going to be Rosemary. I think she goes over Rosemary next. This is just, they're going to build Tasha Steelz for a bit, which I'm with it. I like her. She's got a lot of potential with it. So we'll see.
And you can come back to her. They haven't really done her and Deonna yet, like on a big program. And they're right. Both from Damian Adams' school. So they probably will have awesome program when they do it. So yeah, maybe just get, you know, Deonna through a Mia feud and then, you know, have Deonna Rain off of that, and then you know you could do something with Tasha in late summer, fall.
Right,
I can see that.
So then this one, I didn't know how this was gonna go down. It's very, I still don't even know if I understand why they did it. But so the Briscoes defeat Violent and By Design to become the new Impact World Tag Team Champions. I love the Briscoes, but I just don't think the Briscoes are TV material. I like they're kind of too, they push the envelope, they say too much shit, but it's kind of just like, and I'm not even talking about all the shit on videos before, just the way that they present, I don't know that it's good for television.
Impact's not really on television anyways.
Yeah, thank you, you just stole the words right out of my mouth.
So it doesn't really matter. They can say whatever they want.
Yeah.
They're not on TV anyways.
Yeah.
So, but go ahead, Ross, are you gonna say something?
Plus that, well, they're pre-taped too. So
yeah,
they can edit that shit out if they do say anything or restrict it that way. So and then let it on pay-per-views, let them go off if they want to, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes, yeah, that makes sense. The reason I say TV is because I feel like the company has to be like thinking about getting themselves on a better channel than AXS, whatever you want to call it. But that was a good match. I enjoyed that match.
I did too. I like the Briscoes a lot. So,
and I like Eric Young. Eric Young's a good worker.
I did. And honestly, Dieter's, I think, really come into his own since coming with Violent with Design, and he's not just this idiot redneck anymore.
Right, and I like that they. I love that they use like the Freebird rule with those three, because it made sense to put Dieter in over Joe Doran if you're gonna put the belts on
Briscoes. Yes, and I did, for the record, I know I say this in the chat all the time, and I'm going to say it again. Joe Doering is a scary, scary man.
Right.
He is terrifying. If I ever saw him in an alley, I would start running for the hills.
I walked into a, if I was like in the south, and I walked into a bar, and Joe Doering was the first guy I bumped into. My. Oh, fuck.
I'd be running.
By one running. Man. Right. So then we get to the main event. We got Josh Alexander.
But before we get to that, before the main event, Moose comes out and cuts a promo. And then during promo, returns Sami Callihan. Hence, Sami Callihan's return is why I thought Honor No More was going to lose, because I thought he was going to come back and mess with Eddie Edwards, completely forgetting that it was Moose that broke his leg.
Ah, okay.
Gotcha. So hence why I thought Bullet Club was going to win is because I heard Sami Callihan was coming back. I thought he was going to come back and mess with Eddie Edwards because they seem to have this Fight Forever thing going on. But instead he came back to go after Moose, which again, considering, you know, it was in the match with Moose where he broke his leg, I totally understand that.
Right.
I know I'm not the biggest fan of Callihan. I think he's kind of disgusting, to be honest, but I'm glad to see him back nonetheless, because I don't like seeing anyone get hurt.
So Sami Callihan, when he worked, when he first got fired from WWE, he started working a couple Beyond shows. And he just, like, he had a cool match with Dijak. He did, like, a tag team with Dickinson for a couple of months to kind of go back to some of the pre-WWE stuff they did. But he personally was the reason why they had to put the no spit rule in. Because this guy just spits up a storm the entire match. And the way that the fans are...
disgusting.
Yeah, the way that the fans are around the ring, you know, he was literally spitting on people and not even realizing it. So.
Oh, yeah. Just oh disgusting. No, I believe
he's just
it.
A disgusting man.
Yeah. And honestly, like, now going to the Beyond shows myself, and I'm always up there by that ring. I'm not going to lie. If I'm getting spit on by somebody, I'm going to be grossed out and I'm probably going to freak out. So I'm kind of glad.
Yeah. Like, and like, you know, some, you know, if you're selling a match and, you know, you get hit in the mouth and a little bit something flies out, you know, you can kind of control.
Yeah.
Where it goes.
Like, that's understandable.
This guy, but yeah, this guy was just fucking hawking loogies all over the ring. And then, like,
yeah, exactly.
you had to put him in the main event because you didn't want to fucking clean it up before the next match started. You know, it was gross.
Yeah.
Great way to get yourself guaranteed the main event.
Right.
Yeah, just be a fucking slob.
And Jessica Havoc, God bless her, deals with that every night.
Yeah.
God bless her.
Well, here's another thing with that. There was foreshadowing to that return, because before the pre-show started, there was a chat that they had, and on the side of it was Sami Callihan talking about the pay-per-view.
Oh, no.
So they foreshadowed. I was like, ooh, well played. Well played. And then Josh Alexander defeats Tomohiro Ishii. Again, it was an amazing match, but did anyone think Ishii was going to win?
No.
And it takes away from the match.
No, I mean, I knew Ishii wasn't going to win, but that was a match where I didn't care that Ishii wasn't going to win because I knew it was going to be an amazing match. So even though the result was predictable, the match was still worth it.
Okay, that's fair to say. I agree with that. I thought it was a really, really good match. Josh Alexander, I wish Porter was here to
I wish Josh, and this isn't a knock on Impact, I mean, it kind of is, but I wish Josh Alexander was working in one of the bigger companies because he's good enough to do it. And I feel like he would, absolutely. Like, even like the way he wrestles, like, it would work in a WWE style, it would work with AEW. You know, him and I would much rather him be with Ethan Page in AEW than Ethan Page and whatever the fuck his gimmick is now. And I don't mind Ethan Page in it. I just think Alexander and Page is an awesome tag team.
Right. No,
they were great. I missed the North. I totally missed the North.
I could see him ending up in AEW at some point. I could see him ending up there. I don't see him ending up on WWE.
No, he's too old probably at this point for WWE.
Right.
Now, I'll ask the same question to you guys I asked about Tasha. Who does Josh Alexander have at Slammiversary? Who's the Lex? Was it somebody from, are they ready to go, the Eddie Edwards Honor No More grouping? Or is there somebody else? I mean, I honestly would have thought maybe Macklin was getting geared up for it, but clearly that's not the case.
No, no.
Cardona?
Well, yeah. He's got the digital title, unless he drops that. I don't know.
The logical thing to me would be Jay White, because that's their actual pay-per-view.
But, yeah, like, so, when's Dominion? I think it's a week before Slammiversary.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't expect, because I think Slammiversary looks like June 19th, if Wikipedia is right. Who knows the way Impact books. Mm. But I don't know if Jay White will be around at all to do TV for that. Because it seems like he's going to be back to full time. That would be the best case scenario.
Yeah.
But I don't know who else there is.
Maybe they bring in somebody else.
And
they just give it Ishii. I don't know though. I feel like you can't do that because you don't want to bring in someone unless you're going to take the title off Josh Alexander, which I think would be stupid. But I don't think you bring in somebody from outside to fight him again and he just beats them again at Slammiversary. It's got to be somebody that you're like, oh my God, this guy could take the title from him.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie Edwards might be it. I know that's probably not sexy on paper, but that might be the one.
Right.
From internal, you know?
Yeah.
Right. And you just build them off of this win against the Bullet Club to that. It's doable. You can make it make sense. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where they go from here. Impact's got to build, got to get a couple stars, either sign a couple stars or build a couple stars. And this guy's available, so bring somebody on. When CYN fails, grab somebody from there.
Oh, God.
Well, that was Impact. Impact was a decent show. It was what it was. It wasn't a big pay-per-view. It was free on Impact Plus, so you gotta expect it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a bad show. I mean, I wouldn't say there was really anything noteworthy from it, you know. But
right. If you have to go watch a match, I would say go watch the main event.
Yeah. And go watch Ty and Deonna. It was a good match too.
Was it? I gotta watch that. I fell asleep. And I missed that.
I mean, I like Deonna anyway, so I'm a little bit biased, but okay. Ty and Deonna definitely seem to work really well together.
Guys, I gotta say, I hated Taya forever. I hated her WWE run. I hated everything about Taya. I just never understood it. But for some reason, Mania Weekend this year, I like figured it out with her. And I mean, she didn't really have like a blowaway match either. But I don't know what it was, but like she just looked like a bigger star to me than most of the people she was working with that weekend. And now I get it. It took me forever, but I get it now with Taya. And like I can instantly watch all of her matches and enjoy them. And I couldn't before. I can't explain it. It's just something that happened. And I've turned the corner on Taya and I'm excited to see what happens with her, you know, moving forward.
I think the dud that was her NXT run, I think that lit a fire under her ass. And now she knows her worth and it shows.
And just like anything, like you work WWE or NXT, you leave there and what you're going to have, even if you didn't have it before, is just such a better feel for like camera locations and making your match look good. You learn that in WWE. You don't learn that anywhere else. So it's why the people in AEW that work WWE are excelling when some of the homegrowns aren't, because they can understand that you know, time cue and things like that, that, you know, when you were tired before WWE, you never had to worry about that. So it's definitely, it layers you, you know, even though she had a short run, it's going to benefit her long term.
Yeah.
I agree with that. So let's talk about the other show that happened. So that was Saturday night. Sunday night, we had Backlash. I refuse to call it WrestleMania Backlash. That's fucking stupid. Is everything going to be WrestleMania? We're going to have WrestleMania SummerSlam, WrestleMania Money in the Bank.
I hope so. And then every single match is going to be Cody versus Seth.
Yep.
Right. That's not that mean. So, speaking of that, we started out with Cody versus Seth.
which was just as good as WrestleMania as night one, honestly. It was a really good match.
20 minutes and 45 seconds in that opener. So that's what I was talking about, where Impact went with the worst match. WWE set it off and said, hey, this is a fucking show. Watch this.
WWE never fucks up their orders. You know, they have that shit locked down to the point that they know how to book the show with the filler matches included. I mean, the way that they booked this out tonight, like it was 2 days ago, hot match, shit match, and then like hot, let down, great main event. And they always book their shows that way. You look at this show and there's six matches on paper, and you're like, why the hell is Baron Corbin and Madcap Moss one of them? Because you can't have six fire matches where the crowd's going to be dead. So it's good use, you know, end a feud or continue a feud here. Now those two guys probably won't sniff the next show. Their format for these B shows, I think, is off the charts right now. And, you know, they have those Peacock ads to worry about, but they're able to keep it at 3 hours by doing six, seven matches instead. So I thought putting Cody and Seth here was brilliant. Got the crowd nuclear. And you know, it kind of set the tone for the whole night.
It did. It was like, I was there with my daughter, and the energy there, even for that match alone, was just incredible. And it was funny, 'cause you said that match went, you know, a little over 20 minutes, and it honestly didn't seem like the match went for that long. Like,
right.
But it was a great match, like from start to finish. Everybody was into it. You know, it was just, you know, incredible. My daughter was trying to run down the stairs to beat up Seth because he was hurting Cody. She absolutely hates Seth. but even just watching that live, like after watching that match, I'm like, I feel so bad for the rest of that card now to have to follow that match.
Very true. Sometimes it's hard to follow a match like that. But it's like Rossi said, like that was the point of that, to like it mm-hmm. set a good tone and it put us in
the absolutely. Spot.
Then you get almost versus Lashley, so it kind of brings you down a little bit. Well played there. 8 minutes and 50 seconds that one went. Almost gets the win over Lashley. I don't know where they're gonna go with this. Like, are you gonna put Lashley over at the end and defeat him? Is that the whole point, to take out almost?
Absolutely, definitely.
Yeah, and then they announced the Lashley, you know, lost in a pretty convincing manner, but it was because of, you know, MVP shenanigans, and then that led them to, you know, booking the cage match for Raw next week, which, you know, might be interesting. You know, seeing a guy like Omos in a cage is going to be definitely worth it.
right.
So, you know, they'll definitely end up going through the cage. I mean, that's a Bobby Lashley staple at this point. But, yeah, I mean, I don't love Omos, but, like, I'm interested in seeing if he gets better. I just don't know if it's ever going to happen.
I think it was smart to put him with MVP because he definitely needed a mouthpiece.
Yes, so I agree. I was just about to say that.
Ring, if he can get better in the ring, MVP can handle the rest of it for him.
Mm-hmm. And Omos has the presence to him. Like, he's like, you want to like him. Like, he's got a cool look. He looks like he's going to beat the shit out of everybody. The entrance music is kind of cool. It's wonky, but I get the presentation with them. It's just then the bell rings.
Right. And then the bell rings.
I mean, he's definitely the... Now, it's funny because, you know, they peg him as, you know, the Nigerian giant. The Nigerian giant, am I right? Did I hear that right one the other night?
I think so.
Yeah, that's so, right.
Yeah, so they call him that. And he's more intimidating than Commander Aziz, who is supposed to be a Nigerian giant.
Right.
And I'm sorry, if I run into both Omos and Commander Aziz, I'm not running away from Commander Aziz. I'm not scared of him. Omos, nah, bye-bye. I'm out.
It's just like they call up these giants. They like called up all of them at the same time. And like they only really got behind Omos. Like Aziz, you know, Aziz has been there forever. But I mean, Omos has been there since early 2019 at this point. He was actually on Riddle's class, I think. He was in one of those big classes. Well, it wasn't Riddle because Riddle was before that. But anyways, he was in a big class. And you would have thought that, you know, having a guy like that, you'd figure out a way to make a veteran ring in 3+ years. But I guess, you know, he's been on the main roster for over a year now. But I'd much rather be him than Shanky right now.
Right. Fair enough. I'd rather be him than Aziz.
Fair enough.
I mean, now just before we go on to the next match, just to touch back on Aziz for a second, can I just point out the irony that Omos is not paired with Cruz when Omos is the actual Nigerian? Because, I mean, yeah, Aziz is of Nigerian descent, yeah, but he's Polish.
Right.
So wouldn't have made more sense to put the actual Nigerian with him?
And it probably would have worked a hell of a lot better, too.
I
get you wanted to do the Omos AJ thing, which probably did fucking wonders for Omos. I mean, Omos is only 27. I mean, you've got, I think when they brought Kali over, he was already in his mid-30s. So I think that, you know, they've got a little rope with them. I just wish that, I mean, he also would have never worked in NXT either. So it was tough to, you never really had a way to make him, like, kind of get that ring time. So he had to do it on the main. But that's where not having the extensive NXT house show loops anymore hurts a guy like that, you know?
And not having another giant really to help train him and help him be a good big man doesn't help either, because, you know, Big Show is gone. You know, Kali's been long gone. You know, like, there's really nobody, you know, Kane's retired, Taker's gone. Like, there's nobody there to show him how to be a good big man.
Mm-hmm. Yep, facts. But we'll see what happens with him. I think he has potential, and we'll see. From there, we get Edge defeating AJ Styles by a technical submission.
Mm-hmm. That was another good match, honestly. I don't know how well it looked on TV, because I honestly haven't watched the replay, but seeing it live, it was an amazing match. The energy was amazing, and my daughter was trying to jump
the... 25 seconds.
It was how long?
16 minutes and 25 seconds.
But that's another one where I found out Sunday night, my daughter really, really likes AJ Styles a lot, which is good. Like, you know, like, I'm all about that. Like, AJ Styles is amazing. And that's, you know, a good one for a young child like her to like, who doesn't normally like a whole lot of male wrestlers. She's, you know, she's at the stage where she only wants to watch the women's wrestling. So, you know, kind of get bringing her to the show where it's like, okay, like, there's only one women's match, suck it up and deal. So you're going to see all these other matches. So it made her realize, hey, I like Cody Rhodes. I like AJ Styles. I'm going to try to jump the barricade and go after Edge because he's hurting AJ Styles.
I hate Edge. I hate Edge. I hate it. But I like what they're doing with Edge right now. I really do. I'm very pro this character and this whole gimmick.
I'm enjoying it a lot too.
He's basically getting his own brood. That's basically
in a way, yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
And he's so good on the mic right now. Like, the acting that he did when he was gone, just turned. I mean, I loved him on the mic before, he's absolutely crushing it now. He did it as a baby in the Orton feud and the Rollins feud. Mm-hmm. Now he's doing it as a heel. The guy on the mic can do it all. And I mean, Rhea, I know Damian Priest is no spring chicken. He's 40, but he's going to be a bigger star out of this run than he was before. And Rhea, oh God, Rhea is going to learn so much from Edge and like putting promos together and cadence and all of that stuff. That girl is going to just blow up from this stable, I think. And it's a perfect fit for her.
So now Demon Balor is up there too, right?
I don't know. I feel like they're in a lane where they can put their first main roster War Games together. So think of it this way. You've got Edge, you've got Priest, you've got Rhea. You've got Liv, who's like in a quiet blood feud with Rhea to an extent. She jobbed quick last night, but there's layers to that story. So now we just got to figure out, okay, who else do you give to Edge? Who else do you give to AJ? I've been thinking about this a lot. I think that Ciampa makes a lot of sense to end up with Edge. He's kind of got that dark feel to him. It seems like that was that one thing that they were thinking about doing at one point, but now they're back to having him work main event as a baby and things like that. So I don't know what the fuck they're going to end up doing with Ciampa, but I think he fits in with Edge, or he can fit in as the baby. But the perfect scenario for this feud, if you really want to make it like a 4 versus 4, is this is obviously dream booking, but it would be amazing. You turn Edge you get Ciampa to go with Edge. And then, you know, you need the babyface foil to Ciampa, and you can bring his best friend from NXT back to work with AJ and Finn. And I mean, and that would be a great way to reintroduce Gargano. I know they're going to throw a lot of money at Gargano, and they've been trying to, but maybe that's the type of storyline that he could sink his teeth into. And I mean, coming into the main roster for the first time, dream booking, of course, but I think that could be something that could work awesome for all of them.
It would work, except that I don't know if Gargano's going to stay. Is going to stay. Like,
no,
I think it's going to be.
I don't know what he's going to do.
I think it's going to be contingent on what they do with Candace. And if Vince has no care for Candace, I don't think Johnny's going to be like, well, I'm just going to stay.
You just had a kid. She's going to be a mom. She's on the. She's on the alumni page now.
Her contract
did just end.
Yeah, contract stuff. So it's like, but are they going to renew it, or you know what I mean? Like, are they just going to let her go? Like, there's a lot of things. I think that's kind of whatever happens there. I think it's contingent on what Gargano does. It works. That idea works. Although I don't actually agree with Ciampa going with that group, because I don't think he fits. Only because the way they're doing it, the way they're bringing people in, Ciampa wouldn't fit there. Like the way Edge is presenting it is that Priest and Ripley are people who continue to get shut down, continue to get like basically jobbed out, continue to get like lost.
Finn Balor's the choice,
and they get to be lost. No, Finn Balor's going to be on the other side. It'd be Finn and AJ and Liv. That doesn't make sense.
He's going to turn.
Yeah, but then
you can do that. Yeah. So
then you have no one with AJ. Then who are you going to put with AJ then? So then you're not gonna have 4-on-1. You got to even it out.
So at that point, then you would go Finn with Edge, which you know, then the you know, he's angry demon all the time, and then AJ, you know, Mustafa Ali's kind of entrenched in that feud a little bit with Ciampa. I mean, it wouldn't be exciting.
Yeah, I see what the thought process, but I don't think that works. Because not only that, I think Finn is a bigger star than Edge, and so you don't want somebody above Edge. You want Edge to be above all the others. You want Edge to take younger guys. He wants to take Priest, and he wants to take Ripley, and he wants to take. But that's why I don't think Ciampa. If Ciampa came in, and if Ciampa had been around for a while, like he first came up, and was having like was just getting, you know, was just kind of turning his wheels, not really doing anything, then it makes sense for Ciampa to join him. I just think it's unless he wants to be like the, unless they pull him in almost like a like an Evolution kind of deal, where like where they took in Randy Orton, who was like the up and coming star. So Ciampa is your up and coming star. In that sense, maybe that's the only thing. That's the only way you could fit him in there. To me, I just think he doesn't fit the way they present it.
I think he can make a fit.
Yeah, and it depends on who you, and like, I agree with you, then who you put the fourth person with AJ, because AJ's got himself and Finn and Liv. He needs a kind of needs a fourth person.
Mustafa Ali, probably.
Yeah, you could do that, you know, if it doesn't, if you want to give him, but he's not getting any type of.
Other than bring Gargano back.
Right, and he's not getting any type of, like, he's not getting over at all. Like, nobody likes him.
We got Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair. I quit match for the SmackDown Women's Championship. This match was way better than their match for what, 16 minutes and 35 seconds. And the right person won. Ronda Rousey walks out the champion. They need to make her not a babyface, though.
Ronda should definitely not have come back in the first place as a babyface. I don't know if I necessarily agree with Ronda winning, though. Like, I thought it was going to be a fuck finish because I didn't see Charlotte losing at all. I knew that. I knew she was going to be taking time off because she's getting married to Andrade, which congratulations to both. But I thought it was going to be Charlotte with the fuck finish. You know, I thought she was going to pull, you know, Rock Mankind. She had Ronda a tape recorded saying, I quit. And I thought it was going to carry over to Hell in a Cell, where Ronda would then destroy Charlotte and send her off on her for her wedding and her honeymoon.
Right, right.
Yeah, but I think she's just getting married in June, didn't she?
Hell in a Cell is in June, but I don't know. I don't know when in June exactly.
Yeah, I don't think it worked out time wise to do that. I think that's why they pulled the. I think that's why
that's
they pulled
possible.
Possible. Next week we're going to do this. I want to talk about where we're going to go with Ronda, because I have limited time. I got to go get this girl in a few minutes, just so you know. So we got to bang through this. Luckily, after this, we had Matt. Actually, first, Rossi, I know you wanted to say something. You didn't get to say anything on that. Go ahead.
No. I mean, I could give you Ronda fantasy books for the next hour. So, yeah, we can do that next week.
What? Madcap Moss defeated Happy Corbin. Who gives a shit?
Now that was definitely the piss break match of the night. Although I agree with Moss winning. I thought he probably could have been a little more dominant than a roll up, but I still agree with him winning.
Yeah. I'm a pretty outspoken Corbin fan. Even if his in ring's not the greatest sometimes. He's like one of the hardest workers they have, and he embraces whatever stupid gimmick they give him, which not a lot of guys do. And it's something that keeps you kind of active in that company for a lot longer than some will. And Madcap Moss, I mean, it's a stupid gimmick, but he makes me laugh. And he makes me laugh, and like not his jokes, but just the whole presentation of it. Like, I don't hate him being on my TV. I do kind of dislike how many pay-per-view matches he's gotten this year. You know, he lost to Drew in a few of them, but this was definitely the right finish. And you know, I miss depressed Corbin, and I hope we get it back soon. His friend is now more popular than him, and it's got a better career trajectory. So I hope we get slum, you know, doesn't bathe Corbin back.
Yes, I did like that Corbin.
That'd be great. That'd be amazing. Then we get the main event, the Bloodline versus Drew, Riddle, and Orton, otherwise known as RK-Bro. Again, RK I think McBro. This was done right. I think this was done right. I know they changed it from being for the titles, but I think this was done right. You've got to, like right now, if the rumor and innuendo is that they're planning long-term booking for Roman, they want him to be like the guy. You've got to put this stable over as dominant, and it has been, and this was the right thing, because there was really no need for them to win this match with the titles not on the line. Throw Drew in there, let Drew, whatever. It didn't matter.
But am I thinking, though, that would have made more sense for Drew and them to win with the titles not on the line, because then Drew getting the pin would have been like, okay, I pinned you know, like he pinned one of the Usos, like, okay, I pinned your cousins, now I'm coming after you.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I was all over the same thought process as far as, like, you know, the baby faces should win. Mostly because I thought the Usos could eat the pin and not worry about it. But I love the way that they did this finish. I legitimately was watching the show. I wasn't distracted. I had my eyes on the show. And when the way it ended, I didn't even think Reigns is the legal man. And then they instantly went right to the video package showing the tag and how smart he was to outsmart Riddle and outsmart the opponents. I love the way they did the finish. And it wasn't a finish that hurt RK-Bro or Drew at that point, because it was such a hard fought, you know, match. And, you know, it just came that the world champ was smarter than you in the end. He stuck the tag in. Riddle didn't see him coming. He gets hit by the spear and he gets pinned. Riddle gets pinned a lot, but I don't think he ever really looks bad, and he bounces back from it. So I love this finish, to the point that it kind of talked me into what happened to your point, Amy. I completely agreed. That's what I was thinking from the beginning.
I mean, I can honestly, like, I can say that, like, out of the three, like, between, you know, Riddle, Randy, and Drew, Riddle is the logical one to take the fall in that team, because, you know, the other two are really at this point way too established to be eating a fall from Roman Reigns.
Well, you don't want him to eat a fall from Roman Reigns, because you want to build both of them up. Like, eventually you have Roman's, like, basically next four opponents kind of lined up in a way between McIntyre, maybe probably Orton somewhere down the road. He's going to face Shinsuke next, and then probably Cody Rhodes somewhere coming, you know, way down the road. So, like, you have all those guys kind of set up. So you don't want him to beat. You want to keep him strong, but you let him beat the guys who he's not going to be facing right now, like Riddle, which I thought he was going to. That's why I thought Drew would have. I thought they were going to win that match too, because I thought it made more sense for Drew to get the win to kind of put himself in line to be the next guy to face Roman. But and especially since they weren't going to do the tag titles, it's like, well, if you're not going to unify the tag titles and you're just putting Roman in there, then what's the point of him winning the match? Like, you just should have left it the way it was and just unify the tag titles like you're originally going to plan on doing.
Right. I mean, it's logical for for Riddle to eat the pin, because, you know, Randy celebrating, you know, his official 20 years in the WWE. Yeah. So, you know, he's not eating that. Right. Drew, they're lining Drew up to be probably Roman's next challenger. So he's not going to be in that. So Riddle was really the only other logical one to eat the pin. But even with Riddle eating the pin, he's still not going to lose any momentum.
Yeah. Unless they give McIntyre the money in the bank, which I can see happening too.
I'm just completely thrown off by the Reigns going away for 10 weeks thing in the middle of June. But obviously, like, he's not booked for any TV or house shows.
He's making a movie.
Yeah, so he's doing something, but, like, how the hell are they going to book around that? They took him off TV as well. So he's not advertised for any SmackDown. So you can still pigeonhole him into the pay-per-views, especially the stadium shows. But, like, how do you really have the feuds make sense at that point? So, I mean, maybe there'll be a lot of pre-recorded shit and stuff like that. But I'm very interested. And obviously, Puff, I know you got to get rolling, but that's something that we will have to touch on next week as well, because, you know, we got to figure out how they're going to get from point A to point B. If their double champion isn't around all the time, you know, it's tough when you've got one champion that's not around. It's tough when you've got one that's got, you know, he's both titles are gone, but you know, it might coincide with a Brock return and a Cena return and stuff like that, that could make your summer hot. So maybe it'll be a blessing in disguise and it'll be a good way to get other people over.
We're going to get on that. That's a great topic to get into next week. So we already have our topic for next week. So you already know what we're going to talk about next week. I can get the fuck out of here because I'm going to I'm gonna be single tonight because my girlfriend.
You'll be sleeping on the couch already.
Right. She's off already and it's already past when I was supposed to be there. So we're going to get out of here. It was a great show. I think we all enjoyed Backlash. We'll get in maybe a little bit more, talk about it tiny bit next week. Probably not because there's going to be other things to talk about, but we know what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Ronda. We're going to talk about Roman, where they're going to go with that. And I'm sure there's going to be some shit that's going to happen this week that we're going to end up talking about. We're going to talk Kota Ibushi once we know a little more about that and everything that happened in New Japan. But we're going to get out of here because I got to get out of here. So for Mike K, for the First Lady Amy Lynn, for Mike Rossi, I'm Sean Puff. This has been Smarks, Spot Monkeys, and Super Kicks. And we're out of here. Peace.
The Smarks in here, the Smarks in here, yeah.